Lord God, we thank you so much that your plan is better than our plan. We thank you so much that your way is better than our way. We thank you so much that your word is our instructions for our life. And we ask you to baptize us in your instructions, God. Baptize us in your word. You are Emmanuel, the Lord who is with us. Please show us the way we're supposed to do relationships, that we know and walk and hear your voice. In Christ's name, amen. 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 So again, this will be week 3 with our marriage thing. Marriage is important. And today's service is just as important for you singles, as I've said the last 2 weeks, as it is for you people that are married. If you are a single sister or a single brother here, and you are thinking about getting married, listen to what I tell you from a married person. Listen to the things that we're talking about here. And if you don't find somebody who's willing to do these things, do yourself a favor, please. I beg of you. Avoid my office later and do the right thing now. Be wise. If he or she does not love Jesus Christ more than they love you, don't marry them. They ain't worth it. It ain't gonna end good, I promise you. Okay? Ephesians chapter 5, in verse 22. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh and bones. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you, and you may live long on the earth. And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Give me your attention, please. Those of us here that have ever been a part of a divorce, they say, yeah, man, please, listen to that guy. Right now, they sit here and they say to you, listen to that dude. Listen to what that man is saying. It's super important. Those of us here that have been married for more than, say, 10 years, and the honeymoon stage is past, and you get down to real life, including bills and broken hearts and things like that, you're like telling these younger folks now, listen to that man. Listen to what he's teaching. Believe me, you're going to need this stuff. There is nothing worse than being in a relationship that you don't want to be in. There's nothing worse than being in a relationship that you don't trust a person. Now, the difference between last week and this week, it's minute, but here's what it is. Me and my wife, we always have this thing that we say to each other. Let's remember that we're two good-willed people who have the same goal in mind. So today's message isn't for those who are not good-willed. And here's what I mean before I get to today's message. If you're a cheater, or you're a player, or you're a gamer, I don't know what you're doing here. Maybe you're hearing a call on the Lord in your heart for the first time, but I'm about to ruin your life for you, okay? You with me? Cheater, liar, deceiver? I know you well. I was you. I say was past tense. Real, honest, faithful, and good-willed relationships are based on love, mutual trust, and a good future together that never, ever, ever, ever will contain these things I listed. You ready? Now, please remember this, that none of these things in and of themselves are indicators that you're being cheated on. But as a whole, if you group them together, they should be a red flag. In the street, we used to call this dry ratting. Dry ratting. I'm trying to tell you what's going on in your life, and I'm doing it for a very specific reason. I don't want you to be stuck in a relationship that somebody told you you're stuck in. I don't want you to be stuck in a relationship that you think because somebody well-intended in your family, some well-intended person, told you, just stay with it, stick it out, stick it through. Listen to me, listen to me. If your mate, spouse, or friend with benefit have passwords on any of their electronic devices or social media pages that they won't give to you, there's a reason. If their Facebook, Instagram, or any other social media doesn't include you and your relationship status, there's a reason. If they have dating apps of any kind on their electronic devices, no matter what their pathetic excuse is, it's old, I just wanted to see who would put me with, there's a reason. If there's locks on their phones, computers, that they won't give you for whatever reason, there's a reason. If there's nicknames on their phones that you don't know of, like somebody else mysteriously has a name that sounds like the opposite sex, like Chris is really Christina, Sam is really Samantha, Bobby is really Baba. Jacob. I rarely hear your voice. What kind of timing was that? And what school do you got this kid in? Bumquisha? Bumquisha. Okay, continuing. Besties or BFFs that you don't know about, that they confide in about you, that are not good-willed, but they are complaining and devious and mean-spirited, there's a reason. Hidden secrets or I forgot about email addresses that you didn't know about. Oh, it's old. I forgot. Oh, I don't know who that is. That was something from years ago. It must have got stuck in the magnetic heaven somewhere and just got sent to my email. Listen to me. Matter of fact, don't even listen to me. Keep your place in Ephesians and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. A few pages to the left. Hey guys that are here, my brothers, make no mistake about it. I love you guys. You're my boys. I'll fight for you. I'll go to bat 1 Corinthians 7. I'll go to bat for you. I'll get in the ditch with you. Man, we will be foxhole brothers. But if you think I'm gonna lie for you, or you think I'm gonna sit there while you abuse that woman and say nothing, you're out of your friggin' mind. That is not what I am here for. That is not. Don't ever think I'm your friend in that case. Never. Now, Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, concerning the things of which you wrote to me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman, speaking of other women apart from his wife. Nevertheless, because of sexual immorality, let each man have his own wife, and let each woman have her own husband. Let the husband render to his wife the affection due her, and likewise also the wife to her husband. The wife does not have authority over her own body, but the husband does. And likewise, the husband does not have authority over his body, but the wife does. Do not deprive one another, except with consent for a time, that you may give yourselves to fasting and prayer, and come together again, so that Satan does not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. But I say this as a concession, not as a commandment. For I wish all men were even as I myself, but each one has his own gift from God, one in this manner and another in that. We spoke about that in the first week. Remember, it might be different for women in one different way, but it's the same thing up here where it counts. If you don't let your wife know that you desire her, if you don't let your husband know that you desire him, his mind, in a matter of days, will sink into the darkest depths of places you just don't understand. Maybe you do, I don't know. But if you intentionally are weaponizing your body against your husband or your body against your wife, just get rid of the relationship now. There's just no need. That is not what this is for. This here is not for unhealthy relationships. This is for healthy marriages. Like the Apostle Paul, let me paraphrase in American English. Dude, what are you doing? Why are you doing this to each other for? You're not supposed to do that. This physical aspect of a relationship is super, super important. It keeps you together. Sometimes you just feel disconnected and it's time to get together. You follow me? I'm trying to keep it G-rated for y'all. But you got to keep yourselves, you know, don't let your man walk around out there hanging in the breeze. You don't show him affection, somebody else is gonna. And same for you girls. I'm sorry, you men. You don't tell that woman how good she looks. Don't think there ain't a brother out there waiting to tell her that. You think you got her mind-wise. You think she's low, but she ain't. Somebody else will. Continuing, though. But I say this to the unmarried and the widows. It is good for them if they remain even as I am. But if they cannot exercise self-control, let them marry. For it is better to marry than to burn with passion. And basically, again, singles. If you don't have a desire to be married, to be with somebody, as Si Rogers would say, the urge to merge, cool. Then you've been given the gift of celibacy. Stay away from me. If you've not been given the gift of celibacy, it's not a bad thing to have to want to be married. It's a good thing. The Bible specifically says it is not good for man to be alone, man or woman. But I'll make for you. I will make for you. You don't need to go to singles ministry over this place or singles bar at this place or Christian. God will bring you the husband or wife you're looking for. Don't worry. Don't sweat it. God will happen. God will make it happen. He don't want you to be alone. Now, to the married I command, yet not I, but the Lord. A wife is not to depart from her husband. See that? A wife is not to depart from her husband. Unfortunately for some, that's not the end of it. There's a whole lot more here. Ladies, gentlemen, continuing. But even if she does depart, let her remain unmarried or be reconciled to her husband, and a husband is not to divorce his wife. Stop right there. Give me your attention again. Let me explain to you where he's at and where he's not at. He's not saying you do not divorce each other. God forbid you do. Here's what he's saying. There's a time for separation, spiritual separation. It could be due to some physical ailment. It could be due to some emotional trauma. It could be due to some indiscretion. It could be due to history. Some of you guys know what I'm talking about. There's nothing wrong with separation. But according to the book of Hosea and according to what the Apostle Paul is saying right here, separation is for one reason and one reason only. That's to get back together. Move out, stay apart from each other. Don't go. Listen, I'm sitting in an office and there's two people talking and one of them wants out. No, did you cheat? No, I didn't cheat. I just got to get divorced. I just don't want to be in this relationship. Like, you do know. We know exactly what's going on, right? You do know it's written on your forehead. I'm cheating. I fell in love with my paramour. Stop. Get me out of here. We know it. You're not smart. You just think you're smart. The Apostle Paul was smart. And he said, but if you want out, that's fine. Don't get remarried. Now, for my money, what I always tell people, and I've done it a bunch of times in this church, to some of the folks that are in this room today, they go through a divorce, and we're going to see why. Stay with me. And I say to them, listen, I want you to give me a year. I want 1 year. No marriage, no relationship, nothing. 1 year. Oh, but if you're not willing to do that, don't get me involved in your divorce. Don't get me involved in your separation. Don't call me to break things up without restoring things. I'm not here. I'm made for peace. The Bible says that counselors of peace have joy. See, my wife's name is Joy. I have joy, so I'm a counselor of peace. Continuing now. Watch. But to the rest, I, not the Lord, say. And just so you guys know why he said the Lord says in this, what he's saying is the Bible says this. So that's why I'm telling you this. But now he's saying, the Spirit of the Lord has moved on my heart, so I'm telling you this. That's what he's doing there. Continue. But to the rest, I, not the Lord, say, if any brother has a wife who does not believe and she is willing to live with him, let him not divorce her. And a woman who has a husband who does not believe, if he is willing to live with her, let him not divorce him. Let her not divorce him, for the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. Otherwise, your children would be unclean. Now they are holy. But if believer departs, let him depart. You guys see verse 15? But if the unbeliever departs, let him depart. A brother or a sister is not under bondage in such cases, but God has called us to peace. For how do you know, O wife, whether you will save your husband? Or how do you know, O husband, whether you will save your wife? He says this, and he says it as clear as day. If you are with somebody, whether married, whatever it is, and they don't believe in the Lord, and they want to go, let them go. Don't chase him down, standing on the promises of God. Bible says God hates divorce. I'm not leaving. Don't do that. Don't do that to yourself. Don't do that to your kids. He says, in such cases, when somebody has a non-believing wife, your belief can sometimes sanctify, make clean, whole, everything. So here's what the problem is, though. So let's say there's a husband who doesn't believe and a wife who does believe. And the husband forbids that woman to go to church. No, you're not going to church. What's that wife supposed to do? Say goodbye. That husband's not trying to help you. He's trying to kill you. You're supposed to exhibit the influence. The Christian woman or man is supposed to be, no, listen, you don't believe, that's cool. I love you, baby. I will be here a faithful husband / faithful wife until such a time. But don't ask me not to go to church. Don't ask me not to fellowship with brothers and sisters. Don't ask me not to read my Bible. Don't ask me not to spend time in prayer. Because you don't know what's going to happen in the end of that situation. You don't know. Don't stay with somebody who doesn't believe in the Lord and wants out. Let them out. Do you understand what I'm saying? Why I read you these things and showing you this? Now, you might be here and you might be, yeah, but I really love the woman I'm with and she doesn't believe. And man, you got my prayers. You got my support. That's a bare, horrible place to be, man. You're going to be wrestling with a tiger for the rest of your life, and I'll wrestle with you. But remember, that's the choice you're making. And stick to it. But it is a long, long, hard road. Amen? Okay, leave here, go back to Ephesians, please. Now, so how does a person who loves the Lord and has a woman that loves the Lord look at this verse and apply it to their life? Look at these section of scripture and apply it to their lives. There's only one way. And I want you to tune in really, really intently. Let's read this passage with the emphasis on the right syllable. Anybody get that? Emphasis on the right syllable. Emphasis on the right syllable. It's a Drew joke. If nobody laughs, blame him. Watch this now, and watch how this works. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be subject to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present her to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes it and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church, for we are members of his body, of his flesh and his bones. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, that each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself. Let the wife see that she respects her husband. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promises, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Ryan, that was silly, you might say. I didn't understand anything you were talking about there. Of course you didn't. Here's why. It is not my job to change my wife. It is God's job. Now, quite conversely, it is not your job, woman, to change your husband. It is God's job. So reading this the way I just read it, it gives me, as I read it this week over and over and over again for the last 3 weeks, this charge, this responsibility, this incumbency. My job. This is all on me. Husband, love your wife. Well, she don't love me. I didn't see it say there, love your wife if she loves you. It said there, husband, do this. Husband, do that. Husband, wash your wife in the water of word. Husband, do this. Husband, do that. As a husband, you cannot be a beta cuckolder male. You must be a man. You must stand and deliver. You must suck it up when she hurts your feelings. You must drive forward, accept your responsibility from your wife, your children, your ministry, your job. There is no after her. If you got married, it's her. If you want to get divorced, you make sure she's cheating on you. Because if she ain't, I don't want to hear it. You didn't change your mind. She got fat. She didn't cook well. She doesn't know how to drive. She doesn't do your laundry. And I'm saying it forcefully like that because that's the way I took it from me. The Lord said, son, this is on you. This thing's on you. Now, you might be here and you might say, wait a second. I could do the same thing you just did and read it from the woman's perspective. Wives,
That's the whole point. If my wife would take her responsibilities to the Lord and I will take my responsibilities to the Lord, don't you understand that's where the proper balance is struck? It ain't my job. Listen what he's saying. And don't think I don't see that. See that guy's heads the whole time going like this. I'm getting these looks from the guys right now. Let me tell you about life and death. The touch of your hand is life and death. Years ago, me and Josiah had a training partner. His name was Gabriel. That was his name. We didn't know later on, well, we did know. We found out later on that his real name was Bogdan Krystia. Bogdan Krystia was a very famous MMA fighter in his home country of Romania. Bogdan Krystia from Romania came from the street. He was a product of Romanian communism. He was about the most giving, sacrificial person I'd ever met. When it came to training, he was the best training partner in the world. But let me tell you what he couldn't do. He couldn't love. I've cornered him a few times in his fights. I helped him cut weight, and that is a totally different subject I'll get to in a second. But let me tell you what happens. When you got close to Bogdan, he would shut off. He'd still be sacrificial. He'd still be giving. You can call him up, ask him to move. You can call him up and ask him to kill somebody for you. He'd do it. That's the kind of person this dude was. But a product of communism works this way. Love can have a communistic feel to it. Here's what I mean. The first time a man or a woman feels love, their heart comes alive. It usually happens, for my son it happened like 12 or 13. He just wanted to be with somebody. You got daddy. Elena has him. Austin, I want somebody. Baby, it'll happen, buddy. Gotta bring you that, I promise you. And the girls, they were so afraid to tell me they wanted anybody, so I never knew anything about that. And you feel that touch of a woman, and you're alive, man. It's like, yes. And that's why the Bible says, for this reason, a man shall leave his mother and father and cleave unto his wife. Let me tell you what, I loved my dad and mom so much. They were my father was freaking Superman. We used to talk all the time, like, my dad was the strongest man in the world. Anybody ever do that with their dad? My dad was the strong, I'm telling you, my dad's the strongest man in the world. Then when I got my first girlfriend in junior high school, it was like, yeah, well, whatever. But here's what happens. Watch. You get into a fight and you're like, you experience this separation. And it's this weird, the first time that you're in love with somebody and that they hurt you, you're like, heal me. Heal me. You know, whatever. Heal me. Touch me. You know, tell me. You love me. Heal me. And if they don't heal you with whatever love language you have, you get angry. And after a certain amount of time goes by, don't you dare touch me. Now, love turns to anger really quick. Don't touch me! I needed your healing days ago. Now keep it to yourself. And then, if that goes on long enough, you shut down. It's off. And it takes a lot to turn that back on. And that's what happens in a lot of our relationships, guys. And that's why we must always be seeking the Lord for the pliability of our hearts so our hearts don't get hard. If you don't know this, now again, I have the man perspective. So I'm sorry that I'm a minister to men so much in this area, but if this has happened to your man and you think he doesn't love you or it's you're reading each other, you're sending signals back and forth to each other, and instead of just talking about it, you're sending these signals. And ladies, you're horrible at sending signals. Sorry, Horrible. It's worse than a text message. Oh, he's always mad at me. He's always mad at you because you're not healing him. Well, what about my healing? Are you asking for healing? He should know. He don't know. Well, he's stupid. Okay? You do understand. Congratulations. We're finally on the same page. Again, remember what I said. We're talking about two good-willed people here. Two good-willed people who have the same goals in mind, and that's to stay together. People that are cheaters and liars, and man, this ain't no place for you. This message ain't no place for you. What you need is repentance and come to the Lord. Amen. I was there. I've been there. Stayed there a long time. Received Christ as my Savior. For 5 years, I drug Christ around my junk. All around that nonsense. I know how that is. I hope that you guys are hearing this and you go home and take this home. And let me read it to you. Unless at least one person in any relationship is ready not to care about right and wrong, and who gave in the last time we had the fight, and who cares about the issue and just wants to preserve the relationship, then the relationship can't survive. Did you hear what I just said? Unless one person in this relationship is willing to say, I don't care anymore. I don't care if I'm right. I don't care if I'm wrong. I don't care if you gave in or I. Unless one person, if both people stop caring and both people, all they're concerned about is their pride or their ego or who gave in last time or who forgot. It's over, guys. It's over already. Now, that doesn't mean a relationship's over, but any dream of having a real relationship is over. Any desire of having something that only 3% of the population have, it's over. You both must be completely broken. We said this. A relationship is not 50-50. It's 100-100. Give it your all or quit and set that person free. But what if it's the same person every time that does that, that gives in, and now that person is tired, wiped out, and essentially done? Then that other person better start begging or they're going to lose their partner. And if they don't care about that or just don't want to give in, then the relationship is pretty much relegated to the, at best, mediocrity from here on out, or until one person doesn't care about the investment anymore and they melt away. Because at that point, the only thing keeping them together is kids, business, convenience, no other options, and believe me, the devil knows the game well. So if you're not getting the affection or the attention you desire or deserve, but are not willing to at very least ask for nicely, then please only blame yourself, not your spouse. And don't blame God. You understand that? This is like, for you guys that have never been in a relationship right now, you're like, dude, I have no idea what you're talking about. Some of you single maybe, but you guys have been in any relationship. You know exactly what I'm talking about. As a dude, as a guy who started having relationships very young because my parents left us alone very young, and for the most part, they had a splendid relationship. They did. They loved each other. I mean, forget about all the other stuff. My parents were a really good example of the emotional aspect of love. Sometimes. You bring this baggage into your relationship, and there's no way to tell the person that you're with, listen, here's the problem here, okay? If you don't love me, in 2 days I'm going to shut down. Or it's going to remind me of my old relationship, and you know that first date? Let me tell you about my ex. Yeah, that's exactly what I want to hear about. Your ex. Yes. Honest, goodwill relationships are based upon these things. Not caring who's right or wrong, not caring who wins or loses, only caring about keeping the relationship strong.
because the ministry of marriage must be better than the emotions of marriage. But nobody wants to only be together because we have kids or because we have a ministry or because we can't make it financially without it. Don't you want to be like passionately crazy in love with each other? Isn't it great? The vast majority of the time, the kids have to hose me and Joy down. Will you please stop touching each other? That's just disgusting. 30 years. How? Only one way. Only one way. If your spouse, you want to do premarital, let's do premarital. We'll do premarital, okay? Ready? Class one. What does a Christian marriage look like? What is a Christian marriage for? Number one, husband, pray with your wife. Number two, husband, wash your wife in the water of the word daily. Number three, husband, take your wife to church every single week, twice a week if possible. And number four, worship with your wife. Make sure the walls of your home are brimming, are crying out with worship to God. And you will have a successful marriage. I'm not saying you won't have arguments and fights. As a matter of fact, the Apostle Paul said, hey, listen, I'm trying to save you a hassle here. Don't get married. But that was a single guy. What did he know? That's it. Turn, if you would, with me to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3, right after the book of Hebrews. Now, so we just read two things that the Apostle Paul wrote, right? The Apostle Paul wrote both of these things that we read from in 1 Corinthians. That was Apostle Paul. And now, and then in Ephesians. But now we're going to Peter. Okay? Peter. Chapter 3, 1 Peter, chapter 3. There's two books in the Bible that have Peter's name on it. There's 1 Peter and 2 Peter. 1 Peter comes right before 2 Peter in the Bible, chronologically as well as in the book, chapter. Everybody's there? You got it, Rick? Got it? Okay, chapter 3. Wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husbands. Wait a second. You just said that Peter wrote that. He did. But isn't that the exact same way and the exact same verbiage that Paul said? Yeah. Nothing's going to change. I'm sorry, ladies. Your husband is the head of the house, whether you like it or not. That's his job. It's his responsibility as well as his job. No different in importance, just different in performance. I like the story. Pastor Bob used to always tell the story. He did this wedding, and he talked about submission. And this lady walked up to him and said to me, excuse me, I heard you say wives, submit to your husbands. I have had five husbands and I've not submitted to any of them. That's what he said. I mean, I'm going to take his word for it. Yeah, yeah. Wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husbands, that if even some do not obey the word, they, without a word, may be won by the conduct of their wives. Ah, Peter, who's a married man, expounds upon it a little bit. And he's not saying, woman, submit because you're lesser. He's saying, wives, submit because some of your husbands won't get it until they see Christ in you. And you have the best opportunity to show Christ by being submissive. And those of you that have husbands that don't love God will see God as you submit to them in fear of God. It works so crazy when you have two good-willed people and you sit in my office
And I got to hear how two people who love the Lord just can't get this message. Like, you guys just don't get it. You want to go to a marriage counselor. You want to go to a, you want to do everything except the four things that I said. And I always say the same thing. Listen, do me a favor. Do those four things. Just try it for a week. If it don't work, come back. I'll give you your money back. I don't charge. It was a joke.
Again, that without a word may be won by the conduct of their wives, when they observe your chaste conduct accompanied by fear. You're telling me I have to make believe I'm afraid of him? No, you make believe that being afraid of God is more important to you than his bad attitude, than his stupid choices, than his foolish decisions when it comes to money, when his whatever. Listen to me. Some of you ladies, I hear it. I know your husbands. I know, and I mean this, I know your husband's a dote. I know he is. But is it worth it to fight over something where the fight is bigger than the argument? If you're ending the relationship because you're fighting over where you didn't eat or what you didn't get or what you didn't buy or what he didn't say or what he didn't do, is it worth it? Is it worth it to win the argument? Here, the Apostle Peter said, without a word, when they observe this amazing transformation, when the woman that was becomes the woman that is, when the woman who was without God becomes the woman with God, and he goes, oh my goodness, this woman is different. Now, all this to say what we said from week one. Listen, the closer you both get to God, the closer you get to each other. And that's the only way to get close to each other. If you run away from God, running away from this woman, then I hope you got something really sweet waiting for you at the end of that. Because everything else is going to be bitter and sour. Everything else. Believe that. Continuing. Here's one of my favorite verses in the whole Bible. Do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold. See, don't buy gold. Or putting on fine apparel. Don't buy fine apparel unless you buy it at my daughter's shop. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. Please, give me your attention. Let me tell you what this says and doesn't say. Here's what it doesn't say. It doesn't say not to dress up and look nice. It just is the opposite. So if you're going to dress up and look nice, be nice. Don't just dress up and look nice. Be nice. Don't let it be merely. And that word was added for continuity. You'll see that it's tilted to the side. It's italicized in the New King James. And that's because that was the literal translation. More so, hey, of course it's okay to dress up and look nice. You don't, you go to some of these churches, these old-fashioned whatever churches, you know, make sure the women wear burlap sacks, and, you know, and if it's Muslim thing, oh, then they got just the eyes, you know. Yeah, like, why? You can look nice, take care of yourself, whatever you want to do. But what's really precious to God is the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit. Now, notice, that doesn't say mouth. There's something about, like, my Arlie. She's the gentlest spirit you ever met. But if you ever know Arlie, she ain't like a quiet girl. She's funny and quirky, and she'll make you laugh, and she always got something to say. She's like, sometimes I'm like, if you weren't married to somebody, I don't know. But she has the quietest, the gentlest spirit you ever met in a person. Just don't be so hard all the time. Just like, look, man, if you don't like me, listen, ladies, here's what happens. You send signals. I don't like when you do this. I don't like when you do that. I don't like when you do this. I don't like, some ladies have this gift of criticism. And they tell you everything you do wrong. And then the dude gets the message finally, goes, got it.
I suck at everything. Got it. And then she says, what's the matter with you? Nothing. You obviously don't like me. Why would you get that? Because you tell me how I suck at everything. Everything I do is wrong. Everything I say is wrong. I got it. You don't like me. You're stuck with me. Your life stinks because I'm in it. Where did you ever get that from? And I'm telling you again, perspective of a man, this is what we go through. Tell me what you want. I want you to know what I want. I want to know what you want, but I don't. Don't buy flowers, but get flowers. Don't try to have sex with me, but seduce me. Romance, no romance. Chick flick. We're just stupid. We need help. Write it in the sky, get a banner, index card. When they observe your chaste conduct accompanied by fear, verse 3, do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, or putting on fine apparel. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. For in this manner, in former times, the holy women who, ready, trusted God, also adorned themselves, being submissive to their own husbands, as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters you are if you do good and are not afraid with any terror. Husbands, you know what, before we read 7, let me explain to you what that means and what that says there. He says, you might say, what if he's cheating on me? And I say, what if he is? I don't want him to make a chump out of me. A dude would say the same thing. What if she's cheating on me? It's like, listen, at some point in time, your paranoia can only take you so far. You check the phones, you check the email. If they're that smart and they get away with it, you think they're getting away with it with God? Let God reveal it. Relax. You're going to let your whole relationship be ruined because your ex-boyfriend or ex-wife or whatever cheated on you, and now you're paranoid that everybody's going to cheat on you? Like, let God trust in the Lord. He'll bring it. He'll bring it to the front. Relax. Yeah, but I want him bringing me any diseases or legit. Do all the work that you can do. That's the best you can do. Check out, you know? Me and my wife have been together 30 years. She goes through my phone all the time. All the time. Who's Adrian? And why are you going to lunch with her on Thursday? You caught me. I'm cheating on you with Pastor Raz's son, Adrian. I'm not gay. You're good. But you're welcome to do that. And a brother who sits there and goes, I'm a man. I ain't going to let no woman look through my phone. You're a man who's going to be without a woman. That's what you are. That's what you are. Continuing. Husbands, likewise, dwell with them with understanding. You see that word for understanding? It is an educational word used in universities of the day. It means make them study. You must learn what your wife likes and dislikes. When I first told you guys the first week, find out what each other's love language is. How many of you all went and found out what your love language is? That's what you got to do. Go find out what your love language is. Not just married couples, singles too, man. Learn what floats your own boat. Yeah, you know, my love language is words of encouragement. Love words of encouragement. You know what? Woman, you're amazing. You see that sometimes. You watch people who don't know their own love language, and all of a sudden somebody touches their love language, they're like, oh. That's why as a pastor, I don't sit in my office with a woman with the door closed. If it's a woman in there, unless it's family, that door's cracked. Because I'm in there talking to them, and I might touch some love language or something they don't know, and you're such a godly man. You know, that's the one thing Pastor Bob used to say. He used to say, don't say, I wish you were more like Bob. I don't have that problem. That's funny. Nobody says, no wife says to their husband, I wish you were more like Ryan. Doesn't happen. I'm safe there. So the word understanding, make her your study. Learn what she likes. You should have literally, listen to me. You should have in your phone a note. And at the top of it, it should say your woman's name. And you should write there, okay, she says she doesn't like flowers, but she loves flowers. She says she doesn't want to spend time with me, wants me to plan a weekend. And you should have all these things. You should know, my wife, when I get home from work, it's not sit down and relax time. Hey, get me mug of ginger ale. I like ginger ale. It's not. I know that when I get home, I got 30 minutes. Baby, I got this, I do this, we're doing this, what are we doing? She's got dinner, okay, she got dinner, put the kids to bed. About 30 minutes after I get home, then I'm actually home. Sit down, what are we doing? You want to watch Bill? What do you want? Sit down on the couch. That's my sit down thing, sorry. You gotta know these things. Make her your study. There's an old story about, Ken Graves talks about the old farmer that got married. Woman, told you I love you when we married you. If anything changes, you'll be the first to know. That don't work. Dwell with them with understanding. Give honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, and being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. Listen, last thing, here's where I'm going to close. I'm going to give you the Ken Graves story on the weaker vessel. Generally speaking, men have a higher content of muscle than women. And the vast majority of you guys that are here can take your wife when it comes to hand-to-hand combat. Some of you guys. Dean, you got problems. That woman, 2 out of 3. So Ken Graves put it this way. When he gets home, his wife will put on the table a big mug. It's a big glass, thick, glass? It's sea glass. And it's got a little pewter thing stuck on the side of it. It's a giant mug, boom, and she smacks it down the table, fills it up with milk, and he dips his cookies in milk. He said he is a picture of that mug. He'd drop it on the floor, it'll dent the hardwood. And yet, in the cabinet that he made for her, he's got these fine china, the ding, you know, the crystal. That is very much a picture of his wife. Now, although that china is very much weaker, it's far more precious. You don't wash them together. You don't. If you wash that mug like this, you grab that. And that's the picture. When he says, the weaker vessel, not to mean as a put down. The weaker vessel actually is a lifting up. Hey, easy with that woman, man. And I told you, man. Generally speaking, 85. I'm probably down about 75 the last couple weeks. Percent of the time. I open my wife's doors. She loses her phone. Like, hey, that's your problem. No, I'm the one looking for it. You know, I've got the app on the phone. Dee, 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 dee. I'm close to it. She goes for a walk. Her and my daughter go for a walk. They go for a walk in my neighborhood. I live in a horse neighborhood. There's horses around. Man. I'm looking at the clock constantly. Man, maybe they need a ride home. I jump on it in my truck or my ATV and, hey, you guys all right? This is what you do, brothers. And if you ain't about that, like the old Eddie Murphy joke, you know, in the old days, let me out of the car, let me out of the car. No, 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 we'll have none of that. These days, let me out. Get out. We don't do that. We don't do that. She's the weaker vessel. She's the weaker vessel. She must be treated more delicately. You can't say the same thing. You can't treat them the same way. I hope I've given you a picture of the give and take. Now, next week, we are going to delve into the kids thing. We are. Bring here, come next week, be ready, and we're going to have some. You show me something? You're going to have those things? Huh? Go ahead, come on. Ladies and gentlemen, Joy Gittman.
We just want you guys to know that we are going to have these in the fellowship hall after service today. We have one for marriage, and we have another sign up for parenting. We want to see what the interest is for some small group Bible studies, specifically on issues that relate to marriage and for parenting. So after service, if you're interested in being a part of a small group home study on either subject, or you are willing to open your home and be a host, there will be a small book. It'll be a small book study. You won't be teaching. You'll just together be going through the book. So it's just opening your home. You know, maybe having drinks. You know, ready. You can do potluck or whatever you want, whatever you decide. But just being willing to host. We'd like to get like a home out west and a home east. Just to give people options and convenience, I guess, of where they can meet for the study. So if you're willing to host either one of these, just put an H next to your name so we know that. And we just want to gauge what the interest is in these two studies. And if we have the interest there and the willingness to host, we're going to go ahead and buy the books.
So what we're going to do is there's these really good books on parenting that we've both read and applied, and so many of the other parents that are here. It's one thing to have kids. It's another thing to have raised kids. So we're going to do different classes, toddlers, babies, teenagers, adult children, what to do. You know what I mean? We're going to get together. We're not just going to fellowship on it. We're really going to sharpen each other on those things. Because as we know, some people really need help. They got a whole mess of kids and they don't know what to do. Some people have adult children. And, you know, you think you know what to do with kids until you got them. True. So please be involved in that. Yes?
We usually don't do one.
We're going to see. Yeah, we're going to see what the interest is.
Yeah. I would imagine it would be like a bi-weekly. The closest together even could be monthly, but probably bi-weekly, only because we have so many other studies going on. We don't want to interfere, and we never like to, you know, put people out of their home too much. So.
Thank you, Ms. Joy. So we're going to start next week. I'm going to go through all the scriptures that speak about proper parenting when it comes to especially the big spanking that everybody, oh, I don't spank my... We're going to talk about what the Bible says about these things, what proper spanking is, isn't, what your kid's role is, being a parent, being a kid, especially if you're an adult child and you have parents. So be here next week. If you have questions, let me ask again, like we did last week. Ministry leaders, come on up, please, with your spouses, if possible. People are going to need prayer. Now, listen to me. Here's the thing. I'm going to give you this last thing. Pastor John Chinella used to have a class called Communications. And in that class, he explained the four levels of communication. And when I do a class like this, here's the danger. I'm dragging you guys into a deeper level of communication than you've ever been. And it creates a problem. If you're level 1, 2 communicator, and now I've just dragged you into level 3, 4, you're going to have big fights, especially with some of the things I said today. I'm here if you need me. I'm here to talk to you. Come up and get prayer before you go freak out and say, well, he said this. This teaching's got to be taken as a whole, not as he said if you don't have an email address. You know, don't do that to your spouse. Don't do that to me. You have to have the whole thing. Come up. I'll rat your husband out. I promise you I will. Come and talk to me. And I love you guys. I want you guys to make it. I want you guys to be half as blessed as I have been and stick it out no matter what, okay? Let me pray for you. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for the opportunity to look to your word and to hear about what marriage is and is not. Bless us, God, with our relationships, the singles that are here. God, that they would truly be introspective and spiritual when it comes to finding a mate. And those that are living together here, that it would be only your heart that burdens them to get married and nothing that I said. God, if this is the couple that's to stay together, you keep them together. And if you don't want them together, then you separate them, God, in your time. And for the married couples that are here, that are married in Christ, God, may they get to that place, that unity, that oneness, that place of complete trust and respect in you for their relationship. Bless us, God. Thank you for your word. We love you, and we praise you for all that you've done in our lives, God. In Christ's name, amen.